You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Craig Forsyth teaming up once again on this edition of the podcast. Looking ahead to Friday's racing, plenty of racing to come on Friday as well. We've got action at Goodwood, Bath, Haydock, Musselburgh, Pontefract, Worcester, Down Royal and Leopardstown through the course of the day. A busy one. I'm actually in the William Hill Racing Radio Studio tomorrow with Andy Holding and James Millman. So it should be a good one, but a busy day coming up. And we've cherry-picked four races, one from each of Goodwood, Haydock, Musselburgh and Pontefract to look at in a bit more detail. Mr. Forsyth, hello, sir.
Hello to you, Mr. Dunn.
How are you?
You said we team up again. Mm. Was it with success the last time? I'm thinking we only had the one winner, which was a relatively short price.
I think it was, but that's okay. I won't hold that against you.
Must do better on the report card.
Well, we'll try and do better. One thing that has got a lot better since we last spoke is the weather.
Yeah,
because last time we spoke, it was off the back of York's meeting and we were talking about the ground and how it had been fairly soft throughout, or on the soft side of good at least. And now we're here in a beautifully air-conditioned studio. If anything, it's too cold in here. I don't want to complain. And it's glorious outside. It is summer weather all of a sudden.
Yeah, glorious outside. It really is. And, you know, from the heavens opening 7 days ago, I'm sure the watering cans will be coming close to coming out to maintain.
Mm.
Even good to firm ground with the baking heat. Long may it last, I say, Mr. Dunn. Long
Absolutely.
May it last.
Absolutely. Now, people can change sometimes, okay?
I've changed a lot. I've lost my hair.
You have lost your hair. Well, I'm talking about you here, Craig. Now, when you think of Craig Forsyth, listeners, you think of a lovely northern gentleman. Would you class yourself as Northern or Scottish? What would you say?
Certainly not Scottish, Alex. Okay,
fair enough. Just checking. A lovely Northern gentleman who is hard as nails, likes his beer, likes his football and racing, which it really disgusts me, listeners, to report that Craig is doing the podcast today and he's wearing a shirt, jeans and shoes with no socks.
It's warm. You've just talked about the weather.
No, it doesn't matter. They're not sandals. That's popular culture, that is, Craig. You're down with the kids now.
Oh, come on.
I can't be having that, I'm afraid.
I told you, Dave Kellner was in here just before me. You'd have been better getting him to do the podcast today.
You've gone down in my estimations. Dave Kellner always wears socks. I'm not having that. That is...
It's 302 degrees outside.
It's lovely outside. Yeah, you're sat inside.
Terrible.
Anyway, well, me and Craig are going to try and patch up our differences then and look ahead to the best of Friday's racing. We'll start at Haydock. It's the 3:30 contest coming up. It is a handicap over 6 furlongs for the 3-year-olds. These are typically very difficult, Craig, and this looks no different. You've got a real mix of exposed runners, unexposed runners, some arriving here in great form, some arriving here in poor form, and a couple of them as well who are making their seasonal reappearance. Where on earth are we going to start here?
Yeah, I think we've got to start with Dalton, who for me looks absolutely thrown and first time in a handicap off a mark of 81. Caught the eye last year on his first run at a race that worked out particularly well. And then, you know, there's absolutely no doubt about it. He should have won at Ruppin. He got into all sorts of trouble. He got out into daylight when it was all too late. And Philip Makin certainly didn't bash him about to come home in the closing stages of that race because he had no chance of winning after meeting a fair bit of trouble in running. But he made his seasonal reappearance at Ayr over 6 furlongs in maiden company against a couple of horses that were in reasonable form as well. And, you know, he missed the kick. He gave away valuable ground at the beginning of the race. And again, Danny Tadhope didn't knock him about to get competitive. He just cruised into contention and he ended up coming away from his field in real good style. I mean, there was nothing spectacular in terms of his performance on the clock, but visually, you know, he looked like he'd improved massively again from 2 to 3. And personally speaking, Alex, I'll be very surprised if this horse doesn't, you know, end up almost in three figures in terms of his official rating come the end of the season. I think that's how much improvement there is still to come from the horse. Mm. And he's in here on a handicap of 81. You know, he comes up against some in-form horses, El Hombre, who won well at Hamilton last time. Wasn't a particularly strong race. Prior to that, he had finished behind Carl Burke's horse, Boris Hull Abbey. You know, I don't think any of those two would be good enough here to beat Dalton from this mark of 81. The biggest danger could be the top weight of Roger Charlton's. We've just seen him win at Goodwood with a horse with a similar profile. Three runs last year as a two-year-old. First start at three, rated 82. He did win his maiden, this horse, on his final start. And he probably needs to find a little bit of improvement if he's to trouble Dalton. But I think this is an excellent opportunity for O'Mara and Tudhope off a mark of 81. He should prove very, very difficult to beat. I think, you know, this is a horse with, you know, a stone and more in hand.
And at the likely prices, you can probably have an each way bet on it as well. You would have thought.
I'd be surprised if he isn't favourite come the morning. We've seen the tissue prices there, Alex. Yeah. I would think, I would imagine he'll go a favourite. I'd be very surprised if he doesn't go a favourite. If he's an each way price, then he's for having a real solid bet, to be honest.
Okay, it goes without saying we are recording this around about 4 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, so no prices as of yet, and also you heard Craig make reference there to the Goodwood race. Some fantastic racing that we've had on Thursday, obviously Goodwood and Sandown, as we record this, to look forward to. Obviously by the time you listen to this, you may well know what has happened, but the summer really kicking into gear now. And we move to Goodwood for the 3:45, the Cocked Hat Stakes, a listed race over the extended mile and three. Just the six runners here, but it's always nice to have some listed action on a midweek card. Standouts rating-wise are Raheen House and Khalidi. But that said, there are some certainly very, very interesting unexposed types who either have got perhaps an artificially low mark or have just got more to come.
Yeah, and you know, you look at the ratings and you have to take them into effect here, because you've got Raheen House rated 110 officially and you've got Khalidi rated 109. And, you know, the next after those is Monarch's Glen, 101. So if these were to meet in a handicap, those two horses would be given lumps of weight away. And as it stands, Khalidi's the only one with a £3 penalty and still looks reasonably well treated under these conditions. But for me, Khalidi, you know, didn't look the most willing of partners for Frankie Dettori last time. He looked a little bit awkward under pressure and he looked slightly hard work. And personally speaking, looking at his action, Alex, I thought he was maybe just feeling the ground. Now, you've already touched on the weather. I don't think we're going to see much more rain between now and 3:45 at Goodwood on Friday.
Yeah.
So conditions will only get faster. And he does, you know, he does have winning form on good to firm ground. But I think personally he's a horse that just wants a little bit of juice in the ground. Good is fine, you know, good to soft. And I think conditions might just be a little bit fast for him. Raheen House ran a straightforward race on his return, finishing second, bumping into a useful type, it has to be said, in shutter speed. Did nothing wrong there. Just shaped like a horse that needed his first run. And if the yard had been amongst the winners in recent weeks, he would have been the selection. There's absolutely no doubt about it. But you look at Brian Meehan's form, and he's a hard horse, you know, to put up here as the most likely winner. You know, what is he going to be? 6-4, 13-8 chance, roughly off the top of my head. And Brian Meehan's, you know, on a terrible run, 0-19 over the last 2 weeks. The losing run stretches a little bit further back than that. So there's got to be concern of the for the overall well-being of the Brian Meehan yard. So I'm looking at one of the more less exposed runners here that is open to a bit of improvement, and we'll need to find an improvement, and that's Monarch's Glen. I mean, I thought he was a potential top-notcher when he won that handicap at Kempton two starts back off a mark of 87. You know, he only won by a length from Big Challenge in the end, but the way he took the field apart from the halfway stage was very, very exciting. And I thought he was the type to go on and certainly make his mark in Patton company. There's absolutely no doubt he disappointed last time at Sandown. And they're reaching for the cheek pieces, which is of slight concern, as is the fact that Frankie Dettori chooses Khalidi to ride from the two as well. But I think we've got to give Monarch's Glen another chance here, with, you know, a couple of question marks hanging over the front two in the market. I think Monarch's Glen could be the one to take a chance with.
Okay. We'll move to the evening racing then, and Pontefract, the 7:30, is the EBF Stallions Youngsters Condition Stakes over 6 furlongs. Last year, this went the way of a very short price favourite in the form of Yalta for Mark Johnston and William Buick. Mark Johnston represented here by Rufus King. Richard Fahey's got a strong hand. Kevin Ryan's got a likely type as well. And two debutants as well for Richard Guest in this contest. In terms of winning form, the three at the top bring decent winning form as well. Havana Star, Inviolable Spirit and Jarcy. Do you make it between those three?
No.
Okay.
I don't, to be honest. Havana Star, I mean, came from way off the pace to win at Beverley. Mm-hmm. Thrifty set real strong fractions on that occasion. And the pace collapsed. And the first and second, you know, were hold-up horses that, you know, if you'd stopped the race at the 2 furlong pole and suggested that Havana Star had won that race, Alex, people would have laughed at you.
Yeah.
You know, he had that much ground to make up. But he did finish really well. But the form's taken a few knocks since. Thrifty's ran twice since. You know, he ran at Beverley and then he ran again on Thursday at Catterick. And he's been beaten on both occasions. So, you know, that form has taken a few knocks. So one thing about Havana Star as well, Pontefract, if you get behind, is a hard track to make up ground.
Mm.
So he's going to have to be a lot sharper out the stalls and take a much handier position than he did on debut. The positives is obviously the form of the yard. They've turned the corner. They had a couple of winners at Redcar on Monday after a barren spell where they were like 1 from 52.
Mm.
You know, it looks that the signs are that the yard is turning the corner. So if this horse has ran so poorly, if this horse has ran so well,
yes,
when the majority of the horses from the yard have been running so poorly, then that's positive signs for the horse's future. But in terms of this race, I don't think he's going to have it run to suit, and I think there's a few more that might be quicker than them. Jazzy, you would expect to take up a fairly prominent position from stall 3.
Mm.
Won a maiden at Southwell at the first time of asking, and then ran reasonably well here at Pontefract last time.
I seem to remember went off a really big, 8-1,
yeah,
on that occasion, considering the horse had experience and had already won a race.
I think people were looking at the fact that he only won a 4-runner race at Southwell,
yeah,
but he clocked a fair time. You know, the speed figure from Southwell was fairly decent, and it put him in with a reasonable chance at Pontefract last time. He lost nothing really in defeat, finishing second. I would imagine he's the likely pace angle from stall 3 here under Philip Makin, but I thought Rufus King shaped really well at Newcastle 7 days ago. Being 6 furlongs at Newcastle is a stiff test for a horse having its first start, and Rufus King showed plenty of speed on that occasion. And surprisingly, for one of Mark Johnson's, he just tired in the closing stages. And for all the world, he just shaped like he would come on a real lot for having his first run.
Mm.
And I think, you know, he was professional enough to know his job, you know, coming out the stalls and taking up a fairly decent position in the race. And that's going to be a huge positive around Pontefract. From stall 5, I would imagine he's likely to be tracking Philip Makin in the early stages. And you know, hopefully he can come through and win with that experience under his belt now. That one run, I think, will put this horse fairly straight.
Mm.
And, you know, I think he'll run a big race.
PJ McDonald on board, and he's been in decent nick in the last few days as well. So Rufus King gets the nod. Also, could be worth noting in that race that Jazzy is the only horse to have gone around a bend before, notably at Pontefract. Havana Star at Beverley.
Sort of
a bend, but
a curve.
Yeah, but Inviolable Spirit at Ascot and Redcar, and
good,
you know,
point.
It could
fairly
just, could
good
just
point.
Be something
yeah,
to bear in mind.
No, that is an excellent point, because racing around a bend can bring a horse on a good bit, Alex. And I take that on board, and very relevant.
Rufus King, though, gets the nod in that 7:30 contest. The final race we're going to focus on comes from Musselburgh. It's the 7:40, 7 furlongs the trip here, and a handicap over the extended 7 furlong trip. Pretty open contest, just the 6 runners here, Craig. But that said, we've got 2 last-time-out winners in Louis Vaz de Torres and Thomas Cranmer. Glenn Gary likes it here and ran well when last seen, and even the ones down the bottom. But it's hard to rule many of these out on peak form. That said, a few of them aren't arriving here in peak form, and a lot of people will be focusing on, and certainly I'd expect the market to be focusing on, the first 3 in the handicap here.
Yeah, Glenn Gary, for me, I thought ran a tremendous race last time at Ayr, finishing second. He was drawn wide, had to do a fair bit of running early in the race, Alex, and you know, eventually finished second. And I thought he would have dropped out a fair bit sooner than he did in that race, and I certainly marked his performance up. He's a prominent runner. You've got Thomas Cranmer, who made all to win here at Musselburgh. last time over this course and distance. Tactically, you know, a lot is going to come down here to how these two go about in the early stages of the race. You know, the drawn in stalls 2 and 3, Tom Eaves and Joe Fannin are going to both be prominent here. And, you know, it's between the two for me. Technically, you know, Thomas Krumner gets the allowances as a three-year-old, which could count for a lot. But I really liked that run of Glengarry at Ayr last time. And as you touched on as well, he's a horse that does have a liking for Musselburgh, handles his bend really well. And I think these two will have the race between them throughout. And hopefully, you know, Tom Eaves is the stronger of the two coming home in the closing stages. I don't see anything else getting into it, if I'm being honest. Chaplin Bay needs to come off strong fractions, so he'll be reliant upon them going too hard.
He's the only one. If you just look at the form at the bottom, if you like, of most race cards. Glengarry, track leader, led over 3 furlongs out last time. Louis Vaz de Torres pulled hard and prominent. Thomas Cranmer led. Chaplin Bay in rear. Ralphie Boy, prominent, and Storm Cry held up mid-div. Chaplin Bay is going to be last in the early stages of this. And like you said, it is just if the better horses, in inverted commas, do take each other on, it could be set up for Chaplin Bay feasibly, but he'd probably need that to happen, wouldn't he?
Yeah, Ralphie Boy, I wouldn't say prominent last time. I thought he was in a perfect position to play a big part. And it was disappointing he couldn't get the job done finishing sixth. That was only 3 days ago. So he was slightly disappointing, you know, spot on with Chaplin, but he will be the only horse that is held up in the race. And, you know, he's reliant upon that pace, absolutely collapsing, and the two of them cutting each other's throats, taking each other out, and setting the race up for a closer. Will that happen round a track like Musselburgh? You have to say it's fairly doubtful.
Yeah.
With experienced jockeys and Tom Eaves and Joe Fannin.
And Hannigan the big three, if you like.
You know, I would imagine they're not going to take each other on and slaughter each other. You know, I do see one of the prominent runners winning this race. Hopefully for us, it's Glengarry.
Okay, Glengarry gets the nod in the 7:40 from Musselburgh. Great stuff then, Craig. Can you just spin us through your four selections for Friday's racing?
Yeah, the best bet of the four runs in the 3:30 at Haydock, and that's Dalton. In the 3:45 at Goodwood, we're going to take a chance with Monarch's Glen, as we think we can get the front two beat in the market in that race. In the 7:30, the two-year-old conditions race at Pontefract, Rufus King to win the race for a second year in a row for Mark Johnson. And finally, in the 7:40 at Musselburgh, we're going with the top weight here, Glengarry.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.